Good morning. I really am ever so happy to be back here with you this morning. But seriously, I cannot start to talk about us, to tell you about our year, without saying something about you and the incredibly tough year that we know you've had. I don't think anybody would judge any of you, anyone sitting out there this morning thinking, why do I want to hear more stories from a place so far away like Kenya? Another story from Africa. Surely this year we've had more than our own fair share of heartache. But bless you, because you're still here. Today you chose to turn up, to come here to be with your church family, to come into the Father's house and praise him anyway. So today, we are here standing with you, choosing to trust him, choosing to believe that he will continue to give us everything we need for this day, to keep on keeping on, in spite of the painful events in our lives and the challenging circumstances that I know we're all still walking through. Because we know he is good. Is that right? Our God is good. We can trust him, and he really is the source of all our hope. So, yeah, we're with you, and thank you that you are here today. You know, there are people in this room this morning that God has used to do so much more than just give to the finances that Terry and I have needed, the finances we've needed for the vision of hope and kindness. And honestly, sometimes I wonder, what would we have done without your encouragements? What would have happened without your love reassuring us and cheering us on through all those really critical moments? You know, we have an enemy, don't we? And he's really good at making us doubt. And there are disappointments and there are discouragements. But you know, God knew. He knew that we needed you. So this morning, before I say anything else, I just want to say thank you again this morning. Thank you, God, for connecting us to you. And yeah, we love him very much and we love you very, very much. You know, it's hard to believe it's now almost 18 years since BK, Life Before Caselli. It's been an amazing time. It's been an incredible privilege. But remember, we went there to share the true gospel. So like any disciple, we have faced a fair amount of opposition. You know, Hope and Kindness began with a very simple vision. Seeing lives saved and changed by Jesus. He'd done it for Terry and myself, and we were foolish enough to believe that he could use us to share that good news in a place very, very far from home. But we're just two people. And it was always our heart to raise up a team that would be a family to bring that vision into reality. But, Robin, it can take a long time to build a team, can't it? And an even longer time to grow a family, especially God's family. You know, to be fair, Jesus did warn us about the times when we would face trials and when we would have troubles. There was never any talk of if we face trials, but very much when. And like all of you, we've had some really bad days. We've had some pretty bad weeks, some bad months. And sometimes some incredibly tough years. Last year, 2018, was one of those. Some of you may remember that I had some health issues that kept me here in the UK for more than half the year. And then, just a week after returning to Caselli, we discovered that we'd been betrayed. We'd been betrayed by someone we'd known and worked with for almost 10 years, someone that I personally had really loved and trusted. And that really hurt. At the time, it made me feel very foolish. But thankfully, because he's Jesus, and after all, Jesus is about good news, when he warned us about the trials and troubles that would come, he also told us that with him, we would overcome. You know, we have a friend who's been at Caselli three times. She made her last visit almost 3 years ago, but knows she won't be going back because of her own chronic ill health. She's somebody who's been living with significant health issues, even before we first met her 13 years ago. And she has her favourite scripture painted in big letters on her garden fence. It's, I hope, up on the screen. This one, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, one of the great things about being Christ followers, about the increasing years, and I know there's a lot of negative things like needing glasses and other things that come with those added years, but the great thing is that we become more and more confident that that word is true. You know, the fallout from last year's betrayal meant that we were suddenly faced with some real messes to clear up and a huge workload to pick up and a large hole in our leadership and management team. But thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the transforming work that you're still doing in us, because even in that, there was never a moment of despair, never a moment of bitterness, never a moment of thinking, that's it, we quit. You know, throughout it all, we were calm and we held on to our peace, finding the strength and energy that we needed for that extra workload and those extra long days was not a problem, and I could sleep at night. We really were able to do all the things we needed to do through Christ, who was without doubt strengthening us every day. Now, I know compared to the things that you've been going through this year, that seems like a really small thing. But if you had known me without Christ, or even me in my earlier walk with Christ, that was so much evidence of God being with us. And that wasn't all. I have one of my favourite scriptures. My favourite scripture is Romans 8:28. For we know that God works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Our 2015 had also not been so great a year. That was the year we drove our pickup into a bull at 50 miles an hour. Fatal for the bull and not great for our pickup either. But it was also a year when we had to accept that we needed to let someone go. Someone we had believed to be one of our Timothys. Someone who was becoming a good manager, a potential leader. He was someone we'd known as a 15-year-old boy right back in 2002. He was someone that we believed was part of God's big plan for the longevity and the legacy of hope and kindness. It's a long story, but he, called Duncan, was just about to get married, and basically he believed that it was important for him to go out into the world and make his way without the safety net of hope and kindness. I can't tell you how much it broke our hearts, but in the end we knew this really was part of God's plan for Duncan's journey, and we had to let him go. But fast forward back to the end of our horrible 2018, it was some months after that big betrayal that I felt prompted to reconnect through Messenger with our Duncan. By this time, he and his family were living and working 500 miles away on the other side of Kenya in Mombasa. After my message, he phoned, and the three of us spent almost 2 hours talking and laughing and sharing encouragements. I can't tell you how happy we were just to be reconnected. 24 hours later, Duncan called us back to say that their baby daughter, Lee, had been rushed into hospital and was seriously sick. Over those first few days, she was transferred to 3 different hospitals and eventually diagnosed with meningitis. Now, that's serious anywhere in the world. To survive meningitis in a place like Kenya is nothing short of a miracle. I can tell you the Hope and Kindness family prayer time went up a level. But I confess it was one of those times I knew it was the right thing to get our children to pray for. But you know what it's like when you're getting children to pray for something and you yourself, your faith is wobbly and you're wondering, please God, please don't let our children see failure here. Please let them see you move. It's a long story. But in short, Duncan's baby girl made a full recovery. And at the beginning of this year, he and his family returned to us in Kisele. That young manager that we'd had to let go of has returned as a very good manager and a great leader. He's someone that is loved and trusted and respected by everybody there. We weren't the only people really happy to have him back. You know, and he can lead in the way that we need him to lead, whether we are present or whether we are absent. So, you know, I'm just so thankful that we have a loving father, someone who knows exactly what we need and the best way and the best time to receive. Some of you out there might be wondering about a young man called Collins. Collins was the young boy that God used to connect us to Kenya when we first became his sponsors in the year 2000. That's just a warning out there to anybody who's ever considered sponsoring a child in another country. You never know where it can lead. We sponsored him in 2000, and then he came to live with us when we moved to Kiseli in 2002. Bless him. In spite of trying his very best, Collins is not a manager. For a short while, we had to ask him to sit in that seat, and it was the wrong seat. And to be fair, we were asking him to sit in at least two different seats, each of which required one person's full-time commitment. I hope you've got a slide of them up there now. That's him on the right, together with Duncan and our social worker, Nancy. Since Duncan returned, Collins has been growing stronger in his role as our main youth leader. He now leads the work of the youth church and the Christian Union. He leads life skill lessons with the 13 to 18-year-olds in our schools. He is helping them to see and understand the relevance of God's word and the desirability of choosing to put Jesus on your throne. He's also a really good mentor, a really good friend to a lot of the boys in our school who desperately need that positive role model because they simply don't have any at home. So yeah, okay. Collins still probably needs a man B to help him cover all that he's doing at the moment. So he and we keep praying for God's provision. I have a favourite children's Bible, and it describes God's love for us as this: a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. I'm going to hand over to Terry so that he can share why that good news is needed now more than ever by the children and young people in Kiseli, just as we know it's also needed so much by our children and young people here. So thank you.
Good morning. It's really great to be back in Redditch. Judy and I have not exactly been homeless, but we do travel around a lot when we're in the UK. And it always feels a lot like coming home when we come back to Redditch. It's great to see so many people who we've known for so long and who have supported and encouraged us for so long. So thank you to all of you. And thank you for being there for us. This morning, really, what I'd like to do is to share a little bit more about what we're doing in Kenya at the moment and about some of the challenges that we face there. And I'd just like to set the scene, really, by thinking about the idea that time doesn't stand still, as I'm sure all of you know. Change seems to be happening at a faster and faster pace, and Judy and I find ourselves in a new season. Two things in particular have brought that home to me since we got back from Kenya at the end of August. About a month ago, we went to a 70th birthday party with a very good friend in Bewdley, a lady called Liz. And while we were waiting to go into the dining room, I was chatting to a guy in the bar, and he worked out from what I'd said that I was the person, that one of the people anyway, who'd started Hope and Kindness. And when he realised that, he turned around and looked at me and he said, "I thought it was a much younger chap." And I guess it was when we first started 17 and a half years ago. And the second thing that's really brought it home to me, which is a much happier thing for me, really, is that Judy and I have become grandparents. Our little baby granddaughter, Joy Jenny, was born on September the 5th, and she's lovely, and we miss her already, even though we only said goodbye to her really yesterday. Judy's going to be sharing with the children right now about the real stark difference between the experience of our having Joy Jenny born and a little girl called Hope, who was born and abandoned in the bush in Kenya by her mom the day she was born, when she was born. She was hidden under a bush and left totally naked and lying in the dirt. I'm sure that's a story that we've shared with some of you at least before. If I could have that slide, I can't see the slides at the moment. Should be a picture of a little girl wrapped up the day that we found her. I'm not going to spend too long on that story, only to really move it on a step, and the picture should really show how baby Hope, as she was a baby then, has come on. She's 5.5 years old now, and she really is a lovely little girl. And she's one of the things that really brings me hope for the future. If we could have the next picture. And she and Blessing and Phoebe. Phoebe's the smallest of them there. Phoebe actually came to us shortly after Hope. Her mom died, unfortunately, and she and Hope are very much like sisters. They're both born within 3 days of each other. And they are one of the things, some of the people, who really keep my hope alive at the times when I feel sometimes things are getting a bit too tough. I can't honestly understand the decision that Hope's mum made, really, but poverty creates those kind of events. It's hard to see that reality still, and it's really hard to understand how anybody could be driven to abandon such a lovely little baby girl to what would have been a certain death if one of the ladies that works for us hadn't really, truly, miraculously found her. One of the things we don't like to do is to just share all of the good news stories about Kenya, although obviously we have a number of them. We like to be really honest about the work that we do in Kiseli. We love what we're doing, as Judy said. I've said this, I'm sure, to lots of you many times. I really honestly can't believe that God still allows us to do what we're doing. It is such a fantastic place to be, fantastic people to be with. I still love it, but it is very hard work. And it takes a very long time to get results, especially what we've found in Kiseli over the years. Kiseli is a very tough environment. It's a rural place where there is abject poverty, where there is, in many cases, very little love for each other, where corruption runs from the top to the bottom of society, and where people very often don't trust each other. And our work has become harder, I think, over the years. I'm sure if he was here, Josh would perhaps share that sentiment, as he works such a lot with young people, because we're continually faced with new challenges. And in Kenya, that's been especially the growth of a very much more westernised youth culture among the young people that we serve and work with. We were speaking at a church in Bromsgrove a couple of weeks ago, and they'd been looking at the minor prophets. And we were asked if what we said could kind of link in with the message in the book of Micah. And given what we've experienced in Kiseli, and I'm sure what everybody here would be familiar with now, that was very, very easy to do. I really enjoy reading Bible translations that I can easily understand. I've recently rediscovered the Youth Bible, actually at Ellie's house when we were staying up there. And in the introduction into the book of Micah, it says, "Everything was falling apart, but no one seemed to notice. And when people were confronted with problems, they just yawned." Does that sound at all familiar? Is that something that resonates with any of you? It's not very difficult to get a very real sense of things falling apart these days. If I could have the next slide. This is a picture of our baby Joy. It's obviously a posed one by Ellie. And it really sums up one of the dilemmas facing the world right now. One of the things I'm very into in Kenya is our farming and agriculture projects. And I read an amazing and really frightening headline the other day that said, "We've so badly abused the earth's soil that there are only about 100 harvests left in it." Now, that's obviously a disputed figure. There are a number of people who would say, well, that's just rubbish. But the really important thing is, it didn't come out of thin air. It can't be dismissed out of hand, I don't think. And it's really encouraging to know that so many people in the world seem now, and especially this year, and especially because of that young teenager, to be waking up to the idea of an impending climate crisis. It's a great shame, I think, really, that so few people have really woken up to the spiritual crisis that our world faces. A crisis that the book of Micah speaks about so powerfully. And a crisis that creates an urgency for the work that we're doing here in Kiseli. And I know the work which is happening here in Redditch with young people. It's a crisis that we believe our young people in Kiseli will step up to, though. Because, if we look at the next slide, on the cover of the book Baby Joy was holding up, it says, "No one is too small to make a difference." And I've always believed, and I know it's something that's close to Robin's heart, no one is too young to make a difference. And it's great to see the young people here being given so many opportunities to be making a difference. The message of Micah speaks into the circumstances of a once united nation that's now split into two kingdoms. There's godlessness in the midst of prosperity, and God's sovereign rule is set against the apparent security offered by the world and by worldly kings. In Kenya, we've seen at first hand development and wealth for the few, a growth in the number of big cars, some very big houses, even close to where we work in the rurals. And the belief that making yourself into a trophy girlfriend or wife or a mistress is your best chance for escaping poverty. And the newspapers are full of accounts of the wicked and the corrupt who continue to prosper. It wasn't quite like that when we first went to Kenya in 2002, 17 and a half years ago. A lot's happened and a lot's changed since then. I remember when we first went out there, we bought our first mobile phone. We hadn't had a mobile phone before we went, but we thought we'd probably try and stay in touch with people. And we discovered that it was going to be quite challenging because you could only get mobile phone reception within the radius of a banana tree outside one of the girls' dormitories. If you stepped outside the shade of the leaves, forget it. No contact with anybody. Now, fortunately, that's not true anymore. Now we can WhatsApp and Skype and keep connected to the world, especially with our own two children, Tom and Ellie. But that communication revolution has come with a price, and I'm sure it's a price that you would recognise. Mobile phones are really quite cheap in Kenya, but they're still beyond the reach of most of our young people. Everyone, though, can afford a SIM card. So as long as you know somebody with a phone to put it in, anybody can get on the internet with all of the advantages and disadvantages that there are in that. And because of that, the world increasingly has come to our young people in Kaseli, presenting them with all of the same choices that any parents here today will be familiar with through social media and all sorts of things. The only problem is that the lifestyle tied to the prosperity that draws our young people's attention is an even crueler trick over in Kenya than it is here. Because it's really a chasing after the wind, quoting another Old Testament writer. The lifestyle that people, and especially our young people, aspire to in Kaseli now is out of the reach, really, of nearly all of them. It's the same lie that's peddled all over the world, but it's got particularly tragic consequences where we are in Kenya. So really, one of the things that we see in our young people are a puzzlement about two moral questions that seem to baffle them, really. If I could have the next slide. They might sound an odd thing to say. Honesty is foolishness. Trust is foolishness. But it's something which we hear back from our young people when we do ministry time with them, when we've had teams come over and they've asked questions. Those two equations seem to be true in their lives. Kenya, unfortunately, has a reputation for being a really corrupt place. And that's a situation that Micah and the other prophets were speaking into. It's really difficult to understand corruption properly until you've experienced it. The headline stuff that we read about from all over the world, the missing millions, can be written off as the sins of the powerful. Again, that's something that the prophets talk into. You've perhaps heard about the trickle-down effect and the floating all boats theory when it comes to the beneficial effects of creating wealth in a country. I think lots of people nowadays question that. Lots of people doubt that. But I can personally testify and vouch for the trickle-down effects of corruption. It really does start at the top and trickle down to the rest of society. Coming back to Micah, chapter 2 of Micah sets the scene for a very corrupt society. Now, I don't know if Corporal Fraser, if you can remember back that far, in Dad's Army, ever really read the book of Micah. But this scripture from the Message seems very much like him. Doomed, you're doomed. At night you lay in bed, scheming evil plans. And when morning comes, you do what you've planned because you have the power. You grab any field or house that you want. You cheat families out of homes and land. And that really happens in Kenya. That really happens just up the road from us. We paid the rent for an old lady who was literally chased out of her home by her family because somebody else wanted it. That happened at the end of last year. So Micah 2 is a particularly appropriate and real scripture for what happens in Kenya. The verses really address the sins of the powerful, but we see it reflected every day in our community in Kiseli. Not just the rich and powerful, even the poorest people fall prey to that scripture. We've witnessed so many widows being chased from their homes and orphans being robbed of their inheritance. Nancy, our social worker, our primary head teacher, Josephine, our high school principal, Mr. Thomas, and Judy are very frequently dragged into complicated family rows, which ultimately create massive problems for children and young people in our schools. They're chased from one family member to another. They're abused and neglected, and they're ultimately living the reality of Micah 2, verses 1 to 2. So you'll perhaps understand our concern that everything seems to be falling apart and that we urgently need to do something about it. We worry that our young people are living in a culture which is increasingly driving them away from God. And I'm sure if you're a parent and you have children from here to here, you may have a sympathy with that. The culture drives our children away from God, and it sets them off down that motorway that Satan sets out for them. They resist the narrow path in favour of the highway to hell. And this concern drives our sense of urgency to make sure that none of them are lost, that none of them will perish. So, I've said that we face a number of problems. There are a number of things that we fight against, but one in particular, one way of looking at things is really at the top of my list. It's the idea of YOLO. If I could have the next slide. The idea of the way of looking at life that says you only live once. And again, Micah speaks into this. It says, the only prophet you want is a liar who will say, drink and get drunk. That's not just a Kiseli problem, it's a worldwide problem. I don't know what Redditch is like on a Friday night. I haven't been out on a Friday night in Redditch ever, actually, I don't think. So I wouldn't really know. But I'm sure you've seen the headlines about cities and towns all over the country. The real problem in Kiseli is that it's such a dangerous place to live out that attitude. There are added risks in Kiseli that make you only live once, that choice, potentially fatal. Ironically, the biggest venue for living out this choice is the one major and regular social event, funerals. Funerals are an enormously important ceremony in the culture in the Luo tribe around where we live. Funerals are an event that goes on all through the night, usually for at least two consecutive nights. These days, the choice of music at the funerals that's placed from 10 at night right through to 6 in the morning is like something from, I don't know, Club 1830 holiday in Ibiza. It's the kind of stuff you wouldn't imagine listening to in Kenya. The walls of our bedroom shake sometimes all night if the funeral is close enough. They're not a good environment for young people, but they are very popular. It's accepted. Most schools will do a closing assembly, especially the high schools, and say, don't go to the discos and look after your body, because it's accepted that these events are usually the place where young people have their first sexual encounters, even though it's still very rare for them to practice any type of contraception, and HIV is still a very big reality where we are. But the YOLO problem goes a bit beyond the problem of just a bit of illicit drinking or unsafe sex and teenage pregnancies, although all of those things are obviously challenging. If I could have the next slide. It breeds an attitude that says, I want it all, I want it now, and I don't care how I get it. It creates the Micah 2:6 response to the church, if I could have the next slide. Where it says, enough of your preaching, that's what you tell me. We won't be disgraced, so stop preaching. Very often the Israelites said, well, only tell us the good stuff. Don't let us know any of the bad stuff that's happening. We don't want to hear that. Stop preaching it. To be fair to Kenya's government, they have taken steps to try and reduce corruption. But like in Micah's day, it starts at the top and the rot is very, very deep. So it's hard to root out. If I could give you an illustration, which you might find quite shocking, from a school just up the road from us, a place called Homer Bay. The students at this school, about 3 years ago, as the government was bringing in steps to prevent cheating in the end of high school exams, the KCSE exam, the school students went on a protest march from their school to the county education office in Homer Bay. They weren't complaining because they had 60 or 70 students in a class, although they would have done. They weren't complaining because they didn't have textbooks. They weren't complaining because they didn't have enough teachers. They wanted the county education officer to sack their principal because he wouldn't buy them the exam papers for that year so they could look at them before the exams and cheat and get a good result. And you might sit there thinking, well, that's bonkers. That couldn't happen. It did. And it happened in more than one place, but it happened just up the road from us. And really, YOLO, you only live once, makes that a logical response, an acceptable way of getting what you want in a corrupt society. And our young people learn this from the people at the top. Now, at this point, I really hope I haven't depressed you too much this morning, because I really don't want to do that. I hope you aren't sat there thinking, have we really been supporting this ministry in this crazy, corrupt, insane place for all this time, and it's so bad? It's not a bleak place in many ways. I'm personally full of hope, because through our work in our church and in our schools, we get the chance to show all of our young people and the community that the gospel offers an alternative way of looking at the world. An alternative to YOLO. The gospel shows us a leader who opens our eyes and our minds to the lies of this world and the internet and Facebook and the lies that we might come to believe about ourselves. The gospel teaches us to see ourselves as belonging to God and confirms that we're his workmanship. And it shows us how repentance and forgiveness works and promises restoration to broken relationships. And it ultimately teaches us to love others sacrificially. I'm full of hope because of the work that we're doing in our schools to help our young people to know the true gospel and how it can set them free to be the best that they can be. I'd get sacked in this country for some of the stuff we do with the students in our schools, with ministry teams that come out. Our high school students, about 18 months ago, there are four classes, Form 1, Form 2, Form 3 and Form 4. And we had a short-term mission team that came out from a church up in Scotland. Form 1 came for a whole day session in which we went through something called an encounter. They repented of sins. They blew up balloons with the names of people that they wanted to forgive. We probably had a couple of deliverances in the prayer time. And I know I wouldn't be able to do that in this country. And I thank God for what we're able to do with our young people in Kenya. I'm really encouraged by the work that we're doing on our farm, where we're using new techniques to encourage food security and to build businesses that will create jobs. We've been successful this year in starting an aquaponics project, and I know I've talked about that endlessly to some of you, so I just wanted to show the next two slides to show it's actually really happening. So these are two of our guys, Patrick and Ishmael. Patrick is one of our ex-high school students. He's now actually probably our best guy working on the farm. I would trust Patrick to the ends of the earth with our farm project. They're looking at a tank full of fish and the crops that we grow from the water and the fish. And if we have the next slide, that fish started life as an eyeball about that big, and they tasted great. We cooked about 30 of them, and we had a big fish supper, and the remainder should be Christmas dinner for our kids at Christmas time. We've just started a project to rear crickets, as in the small hopping insects, for food. So I'm not hopeless at all. If you get a chance to talk to ask Judy, what did the cricket flower cakes taste like? They were amazing. So the apparent unravelling of the world around us might make even the most determined prophet throw up his hands and give up in disgust. But in the end, we won't. We won't give up because ultimately we have hope. We know as Christians that we have Jesus. The world has Jesus, and he's so much bigger than any of the world's problems. God, our Father, is for us and not against us. And I'm more convinced than ever that the church really is the answer to the problems in our community and the challenges that our young people face in Caselli. It's not the church of the prosperity gospel, which is preached endlessly out there. It's not the church of the select few, which the Seventh-day Adventist church preach. Not very far from us, there's an SDA church closer than those doors behind us, behind our house in Caselli. And it's not the church full of Sunday Christians. It's not the churches in Kenya that I read about in the papers where the pastor sells miracles and prophetic tools like a small bottle of anointing oil for nearly £10 and special healing and deliverance for £30, which is way beyond the pockets of most people, who are then encouraged to get a loan from a money lending app in Kenya to make a sacrifice and pay for it. And I'm sure you can work out that the only person who actually benefits from that is the pastor who gets paid the money. The world needs the real church that the apostles gave birth to all those centuries ago. The church of Micah 6:8. If I could have the next slide. This is the Message version. I really like this one. It says, he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what's fair and just to your neighbour. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Micah 6:8 has been one of my favourite Bible verses ever since I first read it. I had to set up a business bank account for myself many years ago now when we first went to Kenya. It's called Micah 6:8 because I believe that's such a powerful scripture. The world needs the church whose members were so much like Jesus that the name Christian or little Christ came into existence. Caselli needs it. We all need it. We need it here in Redditch. The church that was so awesome to the pagan societies that it grew up in because of the love they showed each other. That's what all of our young people need to be a part of, because it's the only thing, I believe, that can bring them hope for life on earth. The antidote to YOLO is Micah 6:8, the only source for real hope on earth as in heaven. If I could have the next slide. This is one of the things that gave Judy and I more hope, I think, than anything else this year in Caselli. Back in July, we had the joy of baptizing 25 of our young people. A good number of them had been living in our home or coming to our school since they were less than 5 years of age. And we had a fantastic... We take them down to a river near a town called Ayugis. So we kind of throw them in the river and baptise them. It was brilliant. So like others that have already made that choice, I really believe that God will use them to encourage and lead others to trust in God and make it possible to break down the barriers of mistrust between one another and between generations in our community, because that holds it back so much. We know what challenges will still come, but we and they will persevere together. Collins has been working very hard with them, building them into a really close, united, not just a group, I believe, a little community. Because that's really what we're in Kenya for, to build church so that it transforms the community one step, one soul, and one leap of faith and trust at a time. And I can assure you that for some of the young people that got baptized, going backwards into that river was the biggest leap of faith they have ever taken. It was brilliant, though. So, just to kind of start summing up, really, Judy and I are really very, very ordinary people. In our own strength, we wouldn't inspire confidence. In our own strength, actually, really, we'd probably be terrified by what we're doing in Caselli. We'd be constantly fearful that we were going to mess it up or break it or send it into bankruptcy and ultimately fail. But because we've got God with us and all of the faithful people that he's brought alongside us, we believe that as God continues to build our team in Kenya, we'll raise generations of young people who will dare to take on the problems that plague their community and nation that I've spoken about this morning. Young people who aren't going to be afraid to say, "Thy kingdom come," because their strength, hope, and joy come from trusting God. I'd like to finish up really by thanking you for continuing to support and encourage us, for helping us to keep our dream of hope and kindness alive, despite all of the challenges that have come our way, for standing with us as we work with our fantastic team in Caselli to do our best to build God's kingdom on earth in Coselli as in heaven. A prayer for ourselves and for all of you comes from Romans 15:13. I pray that God will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. I pray that you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our prayer for our young people in Coselli, because through that overflow, they will change that community. At this time of the year, we're reminded very powerfully that God is with us and loved us so much that he sent his only son to live among us. The life, ministry and death of Jesus is what binds us together and brings us hope. Judy and I thank God for our Saviour, and we pray that as we serve him, that God will be glorified, not us, and that souls will be saved. Thank you so much for listening to this morning. Thank you so much for being with us and encouraging us. It's great to come back to Redditch. Thank you.
Judy, back in. Okay, so we'll pray for Terry and Judy at the end of the service. I remember when Terry got saved, he'd only been saved a few months, and he felt him and Judy should go to another country, take their children with them for initially 6 months. Imagine that, two little children. How old were they?
8 and 11.
And we're going to go to another country and we're going to serve God. And wow, what an amazing experience. You don't have to be a Christian for 10 years to serve Jesus. And if you're willing, he might take you to a place you've never been before. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, God can use you in a very powerful way. Thank you, Terry, for our friendship. Thank you for our working together. Yeah. Hope and kindness. You are a real blessing. And we'll pray for you and Judy in a bit.
Thank you. It also helps to have a pastor like Robin as a trustee since you first started. So thank you, Robin.
Yeah, thank
it
you,
has
mate.
Been great working with you.
Thank you. Great. Worship team, can you come forward? Tonight at our carol service, there's an opportunity to support Hope and Kindness.